The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Got an idea for a topic? Email us at newsmakers@krla870.com. That's newsmakers@krla870.com. Sunday Morning Newsmakers with Larry Marino, AM 870, The Answer.
Three Southern California churches are suing Governor Newsom over the coronavirus orders. It has to do with churches, I guess, told not to assemble. Obviously, there is concern about coronavirus, but how far does the law go and how far do rights of faith and freedom to assemble block that? We're going to talk about that with Professor John Eastman, the Henry Salvatore Professor of Constitutional Law, Chapman University. Professor Eastman, are you hunkering down at home?
We're hunkering down, but I'm actually working on an article called Soul Food and Other Non-Essential Services.
Interesting. Okay, take us into this story. I mean, it's an interesting dilemma. On the one hand, kind of makes sense. Easter service, you don't really want a packed room there full of a bunch of people shaking hands, taking communion, drinking out of chalices, all sorts of things that are up to a few weeks ago, pretty much standard in certain faiths. And then you have some communities where they really crack down even on people in their cars gathering. Walk us into this story. How do you see it?
Well, the story actually, you know, is tied to the First Amendment of the Constitution, which guarantees to every individual the right to the free exercise of religion. But about 30 years ago, a Supreme Court decision called Employment Division versus Smith held that generally applicable laws that burden religion are just subject to what we call rational basis review. And that means, you know, was there a legitimate governmental purpose, and did this, you know, kind of closely help further that purpose or reasonably further that purpose? And if so, then the law or the restriction is upheld. That's unlike other constitutional rights that are protected, like free speech or free assembly, where we apply what's called strict scrutiny. And only the most compelling of governmental interests would allow us to restrict those rights. And even then, the restriction has to be narrowly tailored to further that interest. So, in other words, right now, religious liberty is a weak stepsister of a right in the Constitution. But there are a couple of caveats here. One is, if the law starts looking like it's targeted toward religion, and one of the ways you can say it's targeted toward religion is they're giving a lot of exceptions to non-religious entities that are similarly situated, but they're not giving an exception to religion. That would be targeted to religion, and that would get strict scrutiny.
Yeah, yeah. I think, isn't that example of that kind of the restaurants, the drive-up bars where you can order food takeout and they can bring it right out to you, and you know, you can have that, but you can't go to a church.
And, you know, and so certainly the congregations that were assembling with social distancing in place. So I've seen churches before the actual lockdown orders came in, they had already blocked off every third pew and, you know, held that only one family could be in a pew. And so there was social distancing built in, the same kind of social distancing. On my way to pick up palms on Palm Sunday, I saw with the line of people hanging out at the local donut shop, which was allowed to stay open, but the church implementing exactly the same social distancing was not allowed to be open. And so one is, are they, you know, kind of targeting religion for less favorable treatment? That would get it subject to strict scrutiny. Now stopping a pandemic is a compelling governmental interest, but the question is, are the measures being taken narrowly tailored to further that interest? And if there are reasonable restrictions that were, you know, shy of a total shutdown that could equally further the government's interest, then they're not narrowly tailored. And it's on those grounds that I think the churches have some meritorious claims.
In the broader sense, we certainly have given up a lot of liberties in the past 3 or 4 weeks, haven't we?
Well, we have. But, you know, both federally and in state law, we've long had on the books emergency procedures for things like this. the federal government's hook is our federal constitution's Commerce Clause. And if you go back and you look at President Trump's initial orders, they were very tailored to that. If there were the law allows him to prevent transportation of people coming from abroad. That's the international or foreign commerce clause, or people that might go across state lines and carry a disease. That's the interstate commerce clause. And then at the state level, the general authority of the government to protect the health and safety of the people is long been established as one of governmental powers. The question is, how far can we go with that before we run afoul of constitutionally protected rights? And I think certainly there are some constitutionally protected rights that are being infringed here.
Yeah. You've got communities where people were being cited for having their services in cars, which to me seems like that's a no-brainer. I mean, what's the problem there? It's the person walking up with the citation who's exposing himself to it. But what happened?
Right.
I mean, is it somebody who was trying to be careful, or do you really think there is somebody picking on faith here?
I think there's somebody picking on faith, just as what we saw in the early stages of this, a slew of local cities that would, you know, aren't happy with the fact that there's a Second Amendment issued orders to shut down gun stores. Claiming, well, that's not essential, but you're right to go down and get marijuana from a local marijuana dispensary. That's essential. I mean, then there's a hostility being manifest by these local officials, and they're using this kind of this crisis as an excuse for doing things they wanted to do anyway but had no legal authority to do.
So how does the court process work in a very unusual circumstance like this? You've got superior courts that are closed except to the judges and the staff. You've got the Supreme Court that's going to hear oral arguments over the phone. I mean, does something like this move with great dispatch? Would you expect resolution on this within hours, days, weeks, or months?
Well, you know, one of the things the Supreme Court has told us is the violation of First Amendment rights is an extraordinary thing, even for a moment. Now, they've said that in the context of free speech rights. But the cases I've looked at that have been brought over the last few days on behalf of religious organizations are making not just a free exercise of religion claim, but a free speech claim and a freedom of association or free assembly claim. And so allowing that government order to shut down speech, to the extent it extends even for a minute, is an irreparable injury. And you could get an injunction. And we're set up now to do this stuff remotely. I don't need to have the lawyers going down to the courthouse to be able to file a pleading. I can do that electronically. And I don't need them there to conduct an oral argument. We can do that by Zoom. So I would fully expect on such an emergency claim, when we're dealing with fundamental constitutional rights, that the courts well ought to be able to decide those questions in an expeditious way.
Now, in the LA Times, they say the suit names three churches in San Bernardino and Riverside counties. One plaintiff, a senior pastor, was fined $1,000 for violating Riverside County's order by holding a Palm Sunday service. According to the lawsuit, believes that Scripture commands him as a pastor to lay hands on people and pray for them. This includes the sick. He also believes that he's required by Scripture to baptize individuals, something that cannot be done on an online service. Let's take that one part about laying hands on people. Could not one argue, though, that laying hands on people is dangerous in a pandemic?
Well, you could. And so how would you have a more narrowly tailored restriction than an absolute prohibition on something he believes is required by his faith? Duties we owe to God as our creator exist prior to and are superior to any duty we owe to government. That's what our founders said about the question. And there's a wonderful discussion about the Second Amendment. As we were considering the second, what became the Second Amendment, could we force people to carry, take up arms if necessary? And they said no, because the duty that people who are religiously scrupulous of bearing arms, was the wonderful phrase they used, had a higher duty to God that no duty to man could supersede. And so this is what this pastor believes. So the question from the civil society's view is there a more narrowly tailored way to accomplish our goal without infringing on his higher duty? And one way you could say is, okay, you can lay your hands in if you first have been checked to make sure you don't have coronavirus. That would solve the problem, and it would be much less disruptive to his performance of his religious duties than a total ban is. And so those are the kind of things that are at a truly value of a truly thorough, narrowly tailored analysis are going to look at.
Yeah. One other quote, and you kind of picked up on it, was from the chief executive of the Center for American Liberty. If a Californian is able to go to Costco or the local marijuana shop or liquor store and buy goods in responsible, socially distanced manner, then he or she must be allowed to practice their faith using the same precautions. So essentially that would be the argument.
That's absolutely right. And the fact that we're not doing everything we can to accommodate the religious exercise here indicates a hostility toward religion that is just not permissible under our Constitution.
Now, what if someone's faith said that they were not to take medications, and maybe their faith said the best thing is to spread germs and get everybody infected so we get past this? I mean, whatever somebody's tenet is of faith, they could say it is. How would you be able to question it?
Well, we've already got Supreme Court precedent on just this very question. People that are have a religious objection to vaccines, for example, can't be forced to take them, or a religious objection to medical treatment can't be forced to take it. But to protect others in society, you don't have a right to spread your disease under the guise of your faith. So we could quarantine you. Then it would be up to you whether to take that risk, but it would be limited to yourself. So, again, these are the kind of things that a proper, narrowly tailored analysis would look at.
Back to the gun question. Were you surprised about the gun shops? It seems as if that's kind of been walked back and then walked up again and back. Some confusion on that. What do you understand is the latest?
Well, I've not followed what the latest was, but I know there were a bunch of local officials that jumped on the opportunity to shut down gun stores. And yet, if there's any risk of a decline in civil order, then being able to defend yourself and your home is certainly an essential service. They were immediately challenged. It was a lawsuit filed up in Northern California by the NRA, and then they backed down a little bit. But my guess is surreptitiously they're trying to keep those gun stores closed because they had a political agenda against the gun stores. The notion that a gun store is less essential than a marijuana dispensary is just laughable.
Mm, yeah.
And yet there's not been a single local official that has shut down the marijuana dispensaries. We see the Michigan governor closing down, vegetable seed aisles at the local grocery store, but allowing the marijuana seeds. Mm. I mean, this is insane. Yeah. And it shows that there's a political agenda that's driving some of these decisions rather than a health agenda. And I think that's what people are objecting to. And we're going to see them increasingly vocal about those objections.
Professor Eastman, thank you so much. We're out of time. Be safe.
Thank you. And you too.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Sunday Morning Newsmakers with Larry Marino.